There's been a call this morning for the entire cervical screening process to take place in this country. The call from the Academy of Clinical Science and Laboratory Medicine follows Professor Brian McCross's report into the failings that led to more than 3,000 women not receiving test results. The report found that the contract to deal with a backlog of tests was awarded to an American company without proper due diligence or risk assessment. Yesterday, another problem emerged, with the HSE confirming that around 400 women received letters with incorrect information. With us is Mary Colliton, who's Chief Medical Scientist at the National Maternity Hospital. She's also a council member of the Academy of Clinical Science and Laboratory Medicine. Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
What is it that you want and why?
Well, if we go back and look at the issues relating to cervical checks since its inception, initially in 2004, there was a report from Euphemia McGugan who outlined how the services should be provided from within this country. There weren't enough scientists available at that time to provide the service, and so a course was set up in DIT Kevin Street with the screening programme and with the academy to ensure that there would be sufficient trained scientists to provide the screening service. At that time, the decision was made politically to export the screening service to a UK laboratory. It went out to tender and a UK laboratory won. And so as our trained graduates were emerging from college, the work was on the plane leaving the country. Now, there had been an issue where some work had been sent to that laboratory previously, and the percentage positive rate from that screening was less than we would expect in this country. So we had issues with the quality of the work before the result went out, before the service went out, and that was highlighted. Nevertheless, the work left, and that meant that the scientists who are here in the country, ready, willing and able and providing that service, were unable to maintain their competence. As time went on, the contract changed and the focus of the contract moved more to cost rather than quality. And so we moved on until we come to last year when the chickens came home to roost. And we found that there was a situation where we have the group who are now known as the 221 plus, where we know their results were incorrect. Now, we do know that the overall capacity of the screen to detect a positive a woman with cervical problems is about 67%. However, the laboratory aspect of that, the reading of the slide, should be read to a standard of at least 90% detection.
And why then would it make a difference if all of those tests were carried out here? Because I know you say in your statement, and you've said it again this morning, that serious questions remain regarding the quality management system in some laboratories. But Gabriel Scally, in his second report, I went back over it this morning, said that he had not identified any evidence that the laboratory services used by Cervical Check did not meet acceptable standards in their countries.
Well, the standard of accreditation in the UK is different than the standard of accreditation in Ireland, which is the ISO standard. So if when the tests are repatriated here, we will have control. We will be able to ask questions and get the answers. So, for example, in this country, any scientist who's doing screening who does not reach that standard of 90% concordance with another screener, their work is reviewed. We look at the number of screens, which in the review that was done was 12% of total there was an issue with. We don't know whether that was in one lab. We don't know whether that was in 1 year. We don't know whether that was a cluster of screeners. 18 months later, we still don't know that information. So we don't have control.
Let's be practical about this. Does the country have the facilities and the staff to carry out all this work?
The provision of service is changing, and so at the moment what we're doing in the US is we're doing a primary screen of the cytology, and then based on that, the ones with low-grade abnormalities are going for a second HPV test, and that triages those who can go back to normal screening pattern or those who need to go to colposcopy. The intention here is to do what other countries are doing and use the HPV screen as the primary screen. And that therefore diminishes the number of actual smears that you need to examine under the microscope.
But as things stand at the moment, I mean, is this a change that could be introduced over a matter of months, or are we talking really about maybe a longer term aspiration?
Well, I think my understanding is that the work has commenced in the Coombe Hospital, who provide some of the screening services at the moment, mainly for those women who are undergoing colposcopy. That work is ongoing to improve their facilities, to permit them to do the primary HPV screening, and also then to take on the majority of the screens.
So what you're looking for may happen anyway.
What we're looking for, it, I think, will happen. It's what we're looking for is to ensure that it happens, and it happens as quickly as possible, that there be no delay, that we look and ensure that recruitment embargoes that are presently in place in the HSE are not impacting on this particular programme. We're also looking that the people who are employed to do this work, that we have consultant scientists who are leading and driving the programme, who have overall responsibility for the delivery of the entire service.
We did ask for a spokesperson from the HSE or a statement, and what they did essentially was point us back to the statement issued in response to Brian McCrath's report the other day. And I went through it. It contains a couple of lines that relate to what you're talking about this morning. It says, perhaps crucially at one point, it mentions enhanced cervical check laboratory resource. And then later on, it says it pledges continued accelerated programme to develop a national cervical screening laboratory at the Coombe. So in other words, it sounds as though there is movement.
There is movement, and that movement is absolutely welcomed. And what we're looking for is that the HSE would engage with the professional body to ensure that the what they're putting in place is reaches best practice and will meet the needs of the women of this country.
Just one final broader question. I was looking at a tweet, or a series of tweets rather, this morning from Vicky Phelan, who was giving a kind of considered response to what's been happening over the past month or so. And she says that lessons do not appear to have been learned. Do you believe that they have?
I'm not certain that they have yet been learnt. If we look at the situation relating to when the HPV testing was sent out to the Shangti lab in the US, their IT systems were not configured to speak to our IT systems. It took months before anybody actually worked out what was going on here. And even still, they haven't got it fixed. Now, I know that getting one piece of software to speak to another piece of software is not an easy system. But having seen that there were no reports coming in to women for weeks and months, why weren't the women told? A letter was sent to GPs where the fact that this is not happening is 0.9 on a long letter. It would have been a fairly simple operation to put a note on the Cervical Check website and to take a small ad in the papers to tell women that their reports were not going to come to them, that there was no need to worry, but to contact their GP.
Right.
And that didn't happen. And women need to be taken more seriously here. We can't continue to treat them like children. Engage with them, tell them what's going on.
Mary Colliton, Council Member of the Academy of Clinical Science and Laboratory Medicine, thank you for coming in to us this morning. It's 27 minutes past 8.